Good morning, good morning, good morning. I am Marty, and this is Stacy, and on behalf of New Life, we would just like to say we're so glad you're here this morning.
Yeah,
this is no better place to be than here today. It's not an accident that you're here, so hopefully you'll open up your hearts and minds to what's going to happen for you.
Yeah, we're really excited to have Heidi and Daniel here from Open Arms, so we are all in for a treat, so we're excited for that to happen. So one of the great things about New Life is all the ways to get connected, and so if you are new, we are excited that you are here, and there is what we call a connection counter out in the lobby and out in the patio. And so we would love for you to come and meet us. We'll be at the one out on the patio after this. And it's just a great way just to find out about what's going on here. And another great way to find out what's going on at New Life is to come to Pizza with the Pastor. So today, after the second service, Pizza with the Pastor is out here in the lobby. And it's just a great way for the pastors. They kind of share what's going on, what's the vision for the church, and ways that you can get connected. So that's really, you know, my prayer for today, that you can find a way to get connected here at New Life.
Yeah, and I forgot to welcome the people online.
Oh, yes.
Hello, what's up? And anybody outside?
On the patio.
Hello, what's up? So, speaking of connections.
Yeah, another way.
Guys, dudes, bros, homies, we have two great ways for you to get involved. One is Thursday nights. Awesome men's group meets down at the cafe over in the Life Center.
At what time?
Community Center. Oh,
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, thank you very much. And then today at 5 o'clock. It's a great way for guys to hang out and just meet each other, get to know each other, meet new friends, you know, have some good food, some fellowship, and I don't know, I heard the Dodger game is on, so maybe that'll be on the screen
right.
In the background a little bit.
Yeah, so the men's hangout is just here, right?
Yeah, it's down there in the Life Center.
At 5 o'clock, I heard it has chicken, waffles, chili, all kinds of great stuff.
Hopefully you'll be there, guys.
Yes.
As we get ready to worship this morning, here's something you can do, your turn and talk. What's one small group that you've been a part of, and what... Just say what a great experience that was, or your experience with that. So everybody, go ahead and stand up.
Meet somebody new.
Thank you.
The scripture says this in Isaiah 40, but those who wait, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So I want to invite you, church, before we go into this next song, to go ahead and just extend your hands. Maybe come to the altars. Maybe look around with those around you, and you know those who need strength right now, those who need to be renewed right now. Maybe lay a hand on them. And I'm simply just going to pray into that verse, pray into Psalm 40, pray into that song, because we're declaring, and the scriptures declare, but right now a lot of us need to receive. And I don't know about you, but we have come in here in faith singing songs to Jesus. We have come in this room in faith, gathering with other believers, desperately needing the touch of the Lord right now over our homes, in our communities, in our schools, in our nation. And I think what we are being reminded of this morning, church, what we are being reminded of this morning, Balcony, is that we as people of God, we as God's people need to learn how to continue to wait on Him. Because that's when, according to the scripture, that's when we find our strength. And so let's go before this great God, the one that we're waiting on, because you know He's coming back again. So right now, we have been called to wait patiently on Him. But not just wait, just sit on our hands and wait, but like actively wait on Him. Be found ready before He comes back. And so let's go ahead and go before this God right now in prayer. So Father, we just acknowledge Your goodness. We acknowledge You are God and we are not. And Lord, we thank You for the many reminders in Scripture that You actually call us to wait on You, sit at Your feet as disciples. And we thank You, Lord, that You are not slow in Your return as some would think, but You are patiently waiting for people to come to know Your Son, Jesus. And so, Lord, as You are patiently waiting, but I pray that Your people, we would be actively waiting patiently for You, Lord. I thank You, God, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it says that when we wait and trust in You, we'll find strength. And so, God, I pray in our waiting, we would find joy. We would wait in joy. I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are the great comforter. And You hear the prayers of Your people. And so, like Daniel, when he prayed, God, I pray that we would wait on Your movement. 21 days, the scripture says. God, I pray that You would help us as Your church wait for that long. Wait in prayer. And Lord, we just give You our homes today. We give You our kids as we wait on them to mature. Wait on them to figure it out. Wait on them to, God, we just give them over to You right now. And we ask for Your strength in that moment to raise kids godly in the truth. Lord, we ask right now as we ask for our community, the Central Coast here, up and down this coastline, God, we wait, Lord, for Your Spirit to be poured out on all people here. And God, in our waiting, Lord, I pray that we would be reminded to lift Your name up high. That as we wait, God, we would be people found with praise on our lips. And so, Lord, as we wait on You this morning, I pray, Lord, that we would get up and we would praise Your holy name. That we would dance in Your presence. That we would lift our hands in Your presence. That we would sing out loud in Your presence. Knowing that when we wait on You, we know that You respond to prayer. We know that when we wait on You, that You are actually going to make things happen. You're going to change hearts and minds. And so in our waiting, we rejoice. So with all of our being, Lord, I pray that we would in this next song, just lift up our hands, lift our voices, and praise your name. So thank you for your goodness. We praise your holy name because your name's above all names. Your name is the one that we are going to for waiting. Your name is the one that we're going to for healing. Your name's the one that we're going to for salvation for our friends and family. Your name. And so we lift up that name of Jesus. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come. And so we praise that name. If you love God in this place, say amen. Amen. Stand to your feet if you're sitting. We're gonna get our thing on. We're gonna boogie, if you will. Students, if you're in the room, you be loud and let's praise his name.
lift up his name. He is so good. We have gathered because he has transformed our lives. Amen? Amen. Psalm 147 says this. It says, praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting it is to praise him. It is fitting to praise the Lord this morning. Amen? Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we have gathered in your presence because you are good, because you are holy, because you are sovereign, because you are gracious, because you are kind, because you are slow to anger and abounding in love, because God, you have changed us. And so we give you the praise that you are so justly due. And God, I pray that everything that we would do, from the songs that we sing, to the words that are spoken, to the way that we respond, would bring you glory and honor today. And I thank you, God, that in a gathering like this, from the youngest to the oldest, we are here to praise you. We pray all these things in Christ's mighty and holy name. And all God's people said, amen. You may have a seat. Well, we are so grateful that you have gathered here today. I've got too many things. I'm not used to the handheld mic. I don't even know what to do. Sorry about that. But we are so good. We are so glad that you have gathered here today. And if you, first of all, I want to invite our ushers to come forward as we continue to worship in our giving and the receiving of tithes and offerings. And this is just one of the many ways that we just glorify God and we worship God is through a tangible act of giving. And as they do that, if you are new with us today, we are just thankful that you have chosen to come and be a part of what God is doing here. A great way to connect is by stopping by one of the connection centrals. They're both in the lobby area as well as on the patio, and we would just invite you to come there. We've got a gift for you, but we'd also love to just get to know you a little bit and help connect you even further here at New Life. Sometimes people ask, hey, what is the best way? You know, that you walk in here, it can feel a little bit overwhelming. Maybe you don't know anybody. They're like, what is the best way to connect here at New Life? Well, there's really three things that we encourage people to do. The first thing is to come three times. Sometimes when you come here to New Life and you're new and you're nervous and all of those things, you're not quite sure what to do, it can feel, like I said, a little bit overwhelming. So we just encourage people to come back at least three times and just experience all the things that are happening here at New Life. The second thing we ask you to do is to simply meet somebody, that you would connect with somebody. That can happen at Connection Central. It also can happen, as was mentioned earlier, through going to something like what's the men's gathering that's going to be taking place this evening, or even coming to Pizza with Pastor. And someone might be saying, hey, it's only my first Sunday. I'm not sure I want to go to Pizza with Pastor yet. It's okay if it's your first Sunday. We have people all the time who come here on their first Sunday and then join us for Pizza with Pastor afterwards. And last but not least, we always encourage people to look for where God is moving. That is why we want people to come here and be a part of New Life, is because they recognize and they sense where the Holy Spirit is moving. And it's not about the music, and it's not about the preaching, and it's not about the ministries. It's where God is moving in all of those, and they want to be a part of that. And so as you come those three times, look for where God is on the move and join him in what he's doing, which is exactly what you get to hear about today. New Life has a long history of being a part of carrying the gospel into all the areas of the world. We're not just a church that brings the gospel into the local community, although that's really important, but we also want to see the gospel move throughout the world. And as a church, we like to join God in what he is already doing. Amen? It's one of those things that sometimes can be confusing for people, and I always think it's important to mention. When we talk about global missions and when we talk about being a part of kingdom work around the world, we are not going simply just to bring the gospel someplace. We are going to join God in what he is already doing, and it's like fanning the flame of the gospel in another area of the world. And we have done that in India, and we've done that around the world, and we do that through the Church of the Nazarene and our support of missionaries. And over the last 13 years, there's a family in our congregation, the Petersons, who have been doing ministry in Mexico. And then over the last 2 years, they invited our students to join the ministry that they were working there. And that ministry is called Open Arms. And today we have the privilege of hearing from Pastor Heidi and Pastor Daniel and all that God is doing welcoming through open arms. And so, man, it's just fascinating to me. I was reading this morning, I was in the book of Romans, and in Romans, Paul is reminding the Jews, and the Jews specifically, that they are going to bring the message of the gospel to the Gentiles. They're going to cross ethnic lines, and they're going to bring the gospel. And it says this in Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 14. I got to hold this back here, Mike. I'm getting old. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one that they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, he's referring to the prophet Isaiah when he says this, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. This morning, you get to hear the testimony of the beautiful feet of open arms and how they're bringing the gospel and seeing God's kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as Daniel comes to the platform at this time, would you welcome him and encourage him as our New Life family?
Hey, good morning, everyone. Buenos dias. You know, as I was standing and worshiping with you guys, it's just amazing to see how the same presence of God here in Pismo, it's the same presence we got down in Mexico. Amen. And we're praising the same God. And I just want to say thank you for Pastor David, Pastor, his wife, for opening up the doors, you know, because they made it this possible for us to come share a little bit about our lives, a little bit about open arms and what God's doing in Mexico and the areas where God has taken us. One thing I want to say is that we went to Armando's house yesterday, and I mean, they received us, you know, with great hospitality. And one other thing I was thinking is like, man, Pastor could have come up here. He could have done a great sermon, you know, about missions. He could blast a good sermon or even have Felipe's energy up here. You know, he'll have a good sermon as well for you guys. But it's just respectful when someone opens up their stage for people to come and just share what God's doing around the world. Amen. And that's a huge respect, and that's a huge blessing. And me and my wife are just here humbled, and we respect your guys' church and everything you guys are doing. Amen. So I'm going to share very quick a little bit of my life, about a little bit about Open Arms, and then my wife is going to come up with you guys, and she's going to share as well. And so my name is Daniel Elizarraraz. Me and my wife started Open Arms, like Pastor said. About 19 years ago, we started Open Arms, and we were newlyweds. You know, we just barely got married, and big vision, big dreams, and what God really had in store for our lives. But before that, I grew up in an orphanage in Mexico. I grew up in an orphanage in Mexico because my parents could not afford eight of us. So when we were with our parents, you know, our parents used to go out and work for 3 to 4 months, and we'll stay by our house, by ourselves. You know, we were eight of us. And it was just a difficult time that we end up growing up in an orphanage. And while we were growing up in an orphanage, I mean, I'm grateful it was a Christian orphanage, because that's where we learned the word of God. One of the turning points in my life was when I was around 8 years old, where I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And, you know, I grew up with the verse that said, if your mom or your dad will leave you, like, God will come and he'll pick you up with the palm of his hand. So I kind of took that verse and took care of my younger brothers while I was at the orphanage. And when I turned 18 years old, you know, I decided to work there at that orphanage because it was a big ministry. So I'm like, I feel like I needed to give something back because, I mean, they've done so much for me. And while I was working there on staff, my wife came on a mission trip down to the orphanage where I grew up pretty much all of my life. And I met her on her mission trip for a weekend. And I remember talking to her, right? I knew a little bit English. She was as blonde as it can get down in Mexico. A little blondie. And, you know, we talked for seconds. But then she, you know, she's going to talk to you very quick. And then she went back to the States. And, you know, God, you know, was stirring something in her heart. You know, she, you know, went back to her life to the United States. And that's why I always tell people, don't underestimate what God can do with you. Go down on a missions trip. Amen. Even on a weekend, on a long weekend. One of the other things is that I got my calling when I was only 16 years old. And when I got my calling to serve the Lord, I was 16 years old and I was picking up bags of cement. That's where I got my calling. I was shoveling dirt. And that's why we always tell people, I mean, don't underestimate. I mean, some of you guys might just have to go on a weekend down to serve in Mexico. Some of you have to go to India and serve in India for a week, for a weekend. And God, it's going to do something in you that your job will have a purpose. Amen. Where you can help people around the world. And you know what? Going back, I was working at that orphanage. My wife came. I met her. And then she ended up a couple months later coming back to the orphanage where I grew up. And she started to serve there. So after a year, we began to date. We were dating. And we get married. We wanted to start this ministry called Open Arms. Because I know in my heart, I felt what it was to feel abandoned. Nobody wants you. You know, you are nobody. You won't be nobody in life. And my wife, she worked at the office at the orphanage. A lot of desperate moms came drop off kids at the orphanage because it could afford them to take care of them for, you know, for their financial or anything that was going on in their life. So we get married. And when we get married, you know, we have this big dream. We got this big vision. And God, how are we going to do this? You put a blondie together and you get an orphan Mexico. We equal zero. We had nothing, but we got this big dream. We got this big vision. And God, we want to start Open Arms, and the slogan is keeping families together. That's our slogan. Keeping families together. My family, it's just as broken as it can get. Heidi's family, it's just as broken as it can get. Like, God will, why will he call Blondie in Mexico and to start a ministry keeping families together where they have dysfunctional families? Because that's what God does, right? He gets whatever, nothing, and he makes something for its greater purpose. So just want to do a quick 2-3 minutes before my wife comes up here. And you know, one of the verses that I kind of grew up with at the orphanage, it was on Judges chapter 6 that says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Mighty warrior, the Lord is with you.'" Amen. Mighty warrior. Turn next to your neighbor and say, "You are a mighty warrior." Amen. You are a mighty warrior. Some of you did not believe that at all. You didn't believe it. But it's okay, because the book of Judges, Gideon didn't believe it at all. And he said, "But God, but sir, I am the weakest. I'm nobody. I grew up in an orphanage. I come from the poorest of the poorest of the poorest family. How are we going to do something? Because that was me. There was nothing I could do about it. There was nothing me and my wife could do about it, because we were nobody. We were no one. But we kind of had to believe when God calls us and said, 'You mighty warrior.'" And that's what Gideon said. "But sir, I'm the weakest of my tribe. I am nobody in my family. I'm the smallest. And you're calling, I mean, you got to send me a sign," right? How many of you like signs? Like, "God, if you're going to call me, I need a sign. Because I don't believe that warrior stuff. I mean, I grew up, I'm nobody, but send me a sign. And that's why me and my wife, you know, got on our knees and God, if this is what you want us to do, send us a sign. I remember we had nothing. We got to a point where me and my wife had $1. That's all we had. We got this big vision. We got this big dream of starting Open Arms. And we said, man, we only have $1. I don't think this ministry is going to work at all. That was 19 years ago. We were newlyweds. God is going to have to show up. I remember me and my wife got on our knees that night and prayed to God and said, God, this is your dollar. This is your dream. This is your vision. And you do whatever you want. I mean, we can't do it by ourselves. The next day, we met a friend of ours. I mean, we just met him there in our community. And he came and saw our place. I mean, our place was teeny, was really small. But I'm there sharing, we want to do this and we're going to tear this. And he's probably looking at like, wow, you guys are crazy, you know. You got nothing. But we had big heart. We had a big dream. And before that guy left, he wrote us a check for $250. When you have $1, hey, 20 years ago, that was a lot of money in Mexico. All right? We got the check and we're like, oh my goodness, this is a lot of money. Look, our hands are, oh my goodness, what are we going to do with $250? And, you know, $250, we're like, what? We're going to buy a couple 2x4s. We're going to buy some sheetrock and we're going to start building this place. $250. After that point, it was miracle after miracle after miracle. Almost 20 years ago, it's been miracle and miracle and miracle. We just have not stopped. And that was our dream. That's how we started. Open Arms. It's giving the dream back to God, giving his ministry back to God, giving his vision back to God. But we needed to go go through that phase to extend our faith. And I would like to close with this. I had a dream when I was at the orphanage, and my dream was so I can see my mom again. That was my prayer. You know, that was my biggest prayer. I want to see my mom again. And so growing up at the orphanage, I was just kind of, you know, I had that prayer in my life. I want to see my mom. And when I turned 18 years old, I mean, I have very memory because the last time I saw my mom, I was like 5 years old. I turned 18 years old and I decided I'm going to go on a drive and I'm going to look for my mom. And I, you know, went from the orphanage and I started to drive. Very, very little memory. I remember where I used to live before getting dropped off in an orphanage. So I get there to that house. And once I saw the house, my blood just went like, oh my goodness, this is it. I knock on the door and this guy opens up the door for me and that's my dad. He opened up the door and he didn't even know me. I didn't even know him. We were just staring at each other, you know, and he's like, who are you? I'm Daniel. Oh, you're Daniel? You're my son? Oh, come in the house. There's my aunt, there's my cousin, and he's like, and I told him, you know where my mom is? Say, yeah, you know, they kind of acted like nothing ever happened. Like, I never got dropped off an orphanage, right? Like, everything's going on in the same. And I'm like, you know where my mom is? And he's like, oh, she's so far away. You don't want to drive. I mean, I got all day. So we got in the car and we just drove for like 10 minutes, 12 minutes. It was not bad at all. But you know what? When I got out of the car, you know what? I saw my mom for the first time, you know, and I think it's this mom instinct that she knew who her son was. And when I walked up to her, the first thing that she told me is like, Daniel, I am nobody in your life anymore. You deserve to be on your own. You were grown up. You could decide. I'm like, you know what? I know God had a plan for my life. I know God had a purpose in my life, that all I want you to know is that I forgive you. I don't care what happened in the past, but God has a different story for my life. Amen. And that's the broken family I come from. And our slogan, Open Arms, is keeping families together, because God could do something out of a brokenness. Amen. God could do something out of nothing and create a purpose for our lives. And that's why, I mean, pastors are invited us here to share a little bit about Open Arms is. And maybe that's how we started Open Arms, but my wife is going to come up here as well, and she's going to talk to you guys a little bit more. So I have great respect for you guys. I mean, it's amazing because, like I said, Pastor Kukuru could come up here and do a great, you know, sermon for you guys, but we have truly respect because there's a connection when the Bible says that go out into the world, amen, and preach the good news. So our last commandment, it's our first priority, amen. And either if we're not building a church, us, our ministry, we're always helping someone else build a church as well, amen. So thank you guys so much. God bless you. Thank you for this time. And my wife will share with you guys as well. Thank you.
Buenos dias. ¿Cómo están? Oh, good. You guys are good. You guys practice for us, huh? Like Daniel said, I came on a missions trip 21 years ago last month. And I wasn't even living for the Lord when I came on this missions trip. I was actually at UC Santa Barbara living the party girl life. I had grown up in a Christian home. I'm from Visalia by Fresno. We used to come to Pismo, you know, on our vacations to get away from the heat. So very familiar with this area. I grew up in a Christian home, but when my parents got divorced at 13, I went downhill, and instead of running to church and running to what I had grown up believing, I went to my friends, and my friends took me to the parties. And instead of going to God to heal my heart, I just started drinking and being your typical party girl. You know, come to UC Santa Barbara, and the parties just continued. But deep down inside of me, I always wanted to learn Spanish. I had double majored in communications and in Spanish, and I said, you know what? Spanish is gonna open the door for me to make more money living in California, to give me that edge onto other people in the marketplace. Never in my wildest dreams did I think that God would send me to Mexico. This was never part of my plans. But my mom calls me one day and says, you know what? I'm going on a missions trip to Mexico with my church from Visalia, and someone canceled, and there's a spot completely paid for. Do you want to go? And I said, well, not really, but I want to practice my Spanish. And so I go on this missions trip to only practice my Spanish because my life was all about me, me, and me. It was at the very end of my college career. I was taking my last summer school class to be able to graduate. And I go on this missions trip, and I have an encounter with the Holy Spirit that has never left me the same. I hear God's voice for the very first time, like an audible voice, like Moses in the burning bush kind of moment, where I knew God was speaking to me, but I knew no one else could hear. But I heard God's voice and said, Heidi, this is the plan that I have for you. He reminded me of a Bible verse that I had memorized as a little girl. It's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans for you, says the Lord. Plans to not harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. And he said, Heidi, this is the plan that I have for you. This is why you speak Spanish. It's not for you. It's not so you can have a doorway into the marketplace. It's to serve me. And he said, come and follow me. But not only did he say that, he said, you need to go all in. And those words, all in, rang through my ears. Because the reality was, is that I had one foot in the world and one foot in Christianity. I said I was a Christian because I had grown up in a Christian home, but I was not living for the Lord. And he said, Heidi, you need to go all in. And in my head, I'm like, what does that mean? I'm gonna have to go home and sell everything that I have. I had just bought in a brand new Mustang, my dream car. I'm gonna have to give up my dream car. I'm gonna have to give up my job. I was moving to LA. I was gonna be rich and famous, living the American dream. And God says, you need to go all in with my plans, because my plans are better than your plans. My thoughts are better than your thoughts. And I'm driving home with my mom in the car, and I get a call from my roommate in Santa Barbara when we're going to LA. And she's like, I found the best apartment. Heidi, just come back and sign the lease. I already co-signed it. You just need to come and co-sign. And it was at that moment, the crossroads, like, am I going to go back to my old life or did I hear God and am I going to say yes? And I was so scared. Fear started knocking on the door of my heart, trying to paralyze me from what God had called me to do. And I said, can I really give everything up? Can I really go all in with what God has for me? Did I really hear his voice? And you start doubting because fear makes you doubt. Fear makes you stop what God has called you to do. But when she called me and everyone in the car was looking at me like, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? And I said, you know what, Rachel? You're gonna have to find a new roommate because I'm moving to Mexico. And everyone in the car's like, wow, really? I said, I know I heard God's voice and I can't run anymore from what God has called me to do. And in that moment, I remembered when I was a little girl, missionaries would come to our church and prayed over me and said that God would send me to the nations. But I, you know, you forget about all of that when you start living your life for you and not thinking about what God's plans are for your life. So I go home, I come back to Santa Barbara, I sell everything that I have, I break up with my boyfriend, I sold my Mustang, still hurts a little bit. And I go to this orphanage where I went on the missions trip, where I'd met Daniel there. Of course he remembers me. Who would forget this blonde girl down there in Mexico, right? And I work at this orphanage for 2 years. And I see desperate moms come in and drop off their children because they couldn't put food on their table. They couldn't send them to school with a backpack and school supplies. And they would drop them off and say, you can put a roof over their head. You could put food in their bellies. You can clothe them. But they don't understand the psychological damage of abandoning their kids just to give them material and physical things. Children grow up with so much trauma when they don't live with families. And as we were working there and Daniel and I were dating and getting ready to get married and asking God, God, what do you want us to do? We read a newspaper article of a family who locked their two daughters in their house while they went to work and their house burned down. And they lost their daughters in the house fire. And my heart broke and I said, God, how can we prevent this from happening? How can we prevent children from going to orphanages if they don't need to be there? Because 80% of children growing up in an orphanage today have a living parent but are usually too poor to take care of them. How can we make sure kids are not becoming poverty orphans? And how can we make sure kids are not being locked in their homes while parents go to work and they can be in a tragic house fire? Be in the hands of sex traffickers, of the cartels while they're home alone. God, what can we do to make this happen where we can keep families together? And God gave us the vision to open arms, to open our arms, just like Jesus opened his arms to the children of the world, where we build free daycares to keep children off the streets and out of orphanages. And like Daniel said, we get married, we literally have $1 in our pocket, $1. What can $1 do? Nothing. But when we gave this dollar back and we raised it to heaven, we said, God, if you can multiply loaves of bread and fish, you can multiply this dollar. And if it's your heart to keep families together and it's your heart to keep kids out of orphanages and off the streets, then you need to do it. And when we gave that dollar back to God and we received that first $250, we have seen God show up day after day, week after week, month after month. We built our first campus in La Misión. I think we have some pictures to show you. This is La Misión. We built it. We just had a little teeny house. We built a second story to it. We little by little bought the properties on each side of this building. And we said, if we can take 20 kids in, we are doing the Great Commission. We are fulfilling what God has called us to do. And we have about 65 kids in our care at this campus. And as everything was going smoothly, we had enough monthly sponsors to sponsor the kids. You know, God whispers in our ears and says, you know, I've never called you to be comfortable.
get ready to open your arms again to a new campus and to new families and to more children. And he sends us 3 hours south to a little town called Kamaloo. Now, Kamaloo is very similar to this area where there's a lot of strawberries. How many of you love the strawberries from Santa Maria? Driscoll strawberries. Well, the other part of Driscoll's is down there in Kamaloo where we live. And most of the kids' parents who are working in the fields, they're working in the fields, and everything gets exported to the United States. And no one is taking care of their children. And we said, this is a spot where we can build another Open Arms. Another place for so children can have a refuge during the day while their parents are at work. So no child has to grow up in an orphanage if they have a parent. And no child has to be locked in their homes while their parents go to work. And so, I mean, we don't have extra money in the bank to buy and build this property. We had just enough to have our one campus going. But we felt like God was saying, trust in me. I'm with you every step of the way. I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. It's for these kids. It's not for you. And so we stepped out in faith again, even though we were shaking in fear. God, will you really show up? Are we enough? And God, will you really do what you say that you will do? And so we set out a campaign, $100,000 in 100 days. And we're like, are we really going to be able to do that? God, can we really raise $100,000? Do we have enough faith? And to God be the glory, in 46 days, his people showed up and gave to the Kamaloo Project. And this building began and started, and we never stopped building until it was completed for the glory of God. 7 years ago, we opened the doors of our second campus in Kamaloo, where today over 100 children are in our care, are off the streets and out of orphanages, and their families are together. Amen. Not only that, we decided to start and plant a church 7 years ago where Daniel and I pastor there. And as we were 2 or 3 years in, a couple shows up in our offices and asks to meet with us. And they said, we've heard what you're doing for the children of Mexico. In 2004, we lived in Tijuana. We went to work and locked our kids in our house, and our house burned down. And I said, there's no way this is the same couple that we read about all these years later. It was one of the main reasons why we wanted to start Open Arms. They're now sitting in our office sharing with us their heart to start something similar to what we are doing. And they said, we live an hour south in a little town called Los Pinos, and we just closed the door to our church because we have no finances, no resources, no groups to come and help us, but we've always wanted to build a childcare center so that no one in this community had to lock their kids in their homes and suffer a tragic tragedy like we had to go through. I couldn't believe they were sitting in our office. We had heard about them all these years ago. We had shared their story with all the mission teams that had come down. They're now here, and they said, will you mentor us to start an Open Arms? And we said, yes, we'll mentor you. We will do whatever it takes. This is our heart, keeping families together. And they came back a couple months later and said, you know what? We can't do it without you. We will donate the property in Los Pinos if you promise to build an Open Arms there. And we said, wow, that sounds good, like free property. Sounds like a good deal, but if I didn't want it to just be a good idea, I wanted it to be a God's idea. And I said, honestly, like, we just started our second campus. We're newly pastors. Like, we have a lot on our plates. Could we really start another campus? And we said, well, we'll just go out and look at the property just to see what it's like. And as we're driving out there, I'm praying to God, God, I really can't do something else. God, this is really scary. I have a lot of kids to provide for. I have a lot of buildings to build and to maintain. God, I can't do another campus. And I said, but if this is really your will, if this is really what you want us to do, I need another sign, like when we had $1 and you gave us $250. I need an even clearer sign that this is what you want us to do. Because this takes a lot of fundraising, it takes a whole nother team, and it takes a whole lot of work to get another campus running. So we drive out to the property, we pull up and we get out of the car, and I get out and I look straight in front of the property. And there's a store called Heidi's Store. My name literally written in the sign in front of the property. And I'm like, God, what are you doing? Like, no way. And I look right to the left and there's Hardware Store Danny. Heidi and Danny are names written in the signs of the stores in front of the property. And I'm like, all right, God, loud and clear. Got the message, got the sign I was asking for. Like, only God can do a story like this. Like, I can't invent a story like this. These people show up in our offices, give us a property. Our names are literally written in the signs. Only God can write a story like this. And so we said, okay, God, we open our arms to more children, to more families, so these families can stay together and these families can know about the word of God and the love of Jesus. And just last month, we opened the doors to the children at our Los Pinos property. We took in 13 kids. It's been open for 3 weeks. That's the ribbon cutting. Yes, praise God. The next couple pictures are the new kids that we accepted at that campus, where we are able to keep them off the streets and out of orphanages. We have one mom. She has four children. They live in a one-bedroom shack with a grandma and an older sister. So we're talking about seven people in a one-bedroom shack. They sleep on the dirt floor. She goes to work in the strawberry fields every day, and no one is taking care of her children. But because of churches like New Life, who have also opened their arms to these children and these families, we are able to provide them a home away from home where we can care for them, give them schooling, breakfast, lunch, and share the love of Jesus because of churches like New Life have said yes to his calling and have said yes to keep families together. Amen. So we want to thank you for being part of what God is doing down in Mexico. We want to thank Christy and Jason and their family for being a part of what we're doing for 12 years. They knew us when we only had the first campus, and they have seen what God has done every step of the way. And I just want to leave you with this. Never underestimate your yes to the Lord. What I have discovered through these 20 years on the mission field is where I've had the most fear is where God wants to use me the most. Every time that God has asked me to open my arms again, to say yes to something else, fear has tried to paralyze me. But I have discovered that with Jesus, I can unleash my bravery and say yes to Jesus, even though I am scared, and you can do it too. You know, we are all called to do something. Daniel and I were called to be on the mission field every day in the trenches. Maybe many of you are called to come on the missions trip this March that is scheduled to come down to open arms. Maybe you guys are called to give, but we are all called to do something. Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. This is Jesus's last command before he ascended to heaven. And he told his disciples, go into all of the world. Not everyone can go, but all of us can give. And we can, when we give, our dollars go to disciple children and families all over the world. So I just want to ask you guys to stand this morning. Stand with me and just ask God, God, what is my part in world missions? What is my part in keeping families together? What do you want me to do to make sure no child grows up in an orphanage if they don't need to be there and no child is left home alone while their parents go to work? God, how can I open my arms to the needy children and families in Mexico too? And I want to pray for you. Jesus, we just thank you. Thank you for a church that believes in missions, that goes on missions and gives to missions, God. Because this is your last command to go into all the world, and we want to make it our first priority. God, we just thank you for every person here, God, that is listening to your voice. God, I just ask you to touch their hearts and that they will give their yes to you too, that they will go all in with your plans and your purposes. God, I just ask you to burn in their hearts for missions around the world so that no one will perish, but that everyone can have eternal life with you, Jesus. We just thank you and give you all the honor and praise. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen, amen. Yes, can you celebrate what you've heard this morning and where God is moving? Would you have a seat for just a moment? I'm going to invite Daniel to come up here, and we're going to pray over Daniel and Heidi. I'm going to have Pastor Philip do that here in a moment. Nah.
He didn't
want to go. Yes, no, we're good.
Yeah, so if church, if you want to, man, come on. I'm going to have y'all come up here. What are we doing here? Come on. What are we going to do? We ain't about to sting no hand. If you want to come up here, are y'all okay with them coming and laying hands? Can y'all come actually right here in the front? If you want, if you feel comfortable doing this, you want to come and lay hands on them as we just pray a blessing, we're going to do that as well. If you want to extend a hand, that'd be great too. But we are a church that is physical. We lay hands because Scripture commands us to. And so we want to just lay hands and bless them and just thank God for their yes. Thank God for their obedience. And so let's go before God in prayer right now. Father, we just lift up Daniel and Heidi to you. God, we just thank you so much for their obedience, their yes to you, Lord, their sacrifice in saying yes to you, even though it may not feel like a sacrifice, and sometimes it may feel like a sacrifice, but we know, Lord, that obedience ultimately is better than sacrifice. And so, Lord, we ultimately say thank you for their obedience. Thank you for cultivating this vision and this dream in their hearts, Lord, from bringing them together, for keeping their family together. And God, I thank you that their slogan, their mission, Lord, is to keep families together. And so, God, we ask that you would keep their family together, Lord, that there would be, Lord, your love would surround their family like a shield as they do ministry, Lord, in Camelu and Los Pinos and La Misión and other parts that they're not sharing. God, I pray that as they go out in the trenches, that you would protect their family, Lord, protect their marriage, God, protect their love for one another. God, I pray that Daniel's heart would be sensitive and soft, Lord, to his wife and kids and to the community. God, I pray that Heidi's heart will be soft and open to Daniel and her kids and all the people that come into these three campuses and the ones that you will provide in the future. God, I pray that their hearts would remain tender, that you would continue to tend to their garden. Cut back anything in their life, Lord, so they can bear more fruit. God, I thank you for the Spirit of God on them, that is in them, but also rest upon them. And Lord, I just want to pray this blessing that you taught us in number 6. So may the Lord bless you and keep you, protect you, sustain you, guard you. The Lord make his face shine upon you with favor and be gracious to you, surrounding you with loving kindness. The Lord lift up his countenance, his face upon you with divine approval, and give you peace, a tranquil heart and life. And God, I pray that you would continue to fill them with your Spirit, continue to fill them with words to say, with eyes to see, with compassion. Lord, just like Jesus looked over the multitudes and had compassion, we pray that Daniel and Heidi would continue to see with compassion. They would continue to be bold in their faith and live out the gospel in practical ways. God, thank you for the churches that you've called them to lead and pastor as well. Thank you for the teams that you put around them as well. And Lord, you say yes and amen to whatever else you have for them. And give them strength, give them rest as they continue to do this. Father, we love you and we thank you for your love towards us. We thank you for your love over Daniel and Heidi and over Open Arms. We ask all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? Amen. Amen, 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 and amen.
Well, it is so good to have Daniel and Heidi and their family with us. And you might be asking yourself, hey, what are some next steps? What are some things that maybe you sense God stirring in your heart and you're like, hey, how do I move forward with this information? How do I get connected? Well, there's a couple of things that we want to make you aware of. First of all, for many of our new lifers, you know that we are part of our Flourish campaign, and that 10% of our Flourish campaign dollars that are raised are going directly towards missions and ministries outside of New Life. And Open Arms is the focus for our 10% offering. Yes, we will do some other things, but it's going to be the focus for launching this new partnership with Open Arms and being a part of what God is doing there. The second thing is that you have a serving opportunity. We are going to be taking teams to Open Arms and their campuses throughout the next several years, and our first trip will be in March. And so if you're interested in going, that number two QR code, go ahead and just use your phone and you can just say that you're interested. You're not signing up. It's not a blood covenant yet, but it's simply just you saying, hey, I'm interested. And here's what's important. There's an opportunity for you to kind of check off some boxes of what your skills are, because we would love to craft that team around what the needs are at these campuses and then be able to do some things that maybe are unique to how God has wired and gifted our church to be able to take that to Open Arms and to the campuses there and be a part of the kingdom work. And last but not least, Heidi has written a book, and maybe you're someone here today and you just love hearing about how God is working, and I'd encourage you to go and read her story. Maybe you're somebody here today, and I want to put this out there. Too often you hear messages like this and we forget there might be somebody that is sitting here today that God is stirring in your heart to do something globally or locally for the kingdom of God in the area of missions. And a lot of times when we think about that, we only think about our young people. And I pray that out of this weekend that God might tap a young person on the shoulder and say, hey, I'm calling you to leave the things, the plans that you thought you had behind, and go and do something for the glory of God and be a part of his plans and purposes. However, I've also seen it in midlife. I've seen God change the course of somebody's direction midlife, and all of a sudden they maybe have been living their life for themselves, and at 30 or 40 years old, all of a sudden they change direction and begin living the plans and purposes of God. I've also seen it in retirement, where individuals all of a sudden go, you know what? God isn't done with me yet. He's done with my vocational career, but because that chapter is done, there's a new season that's opening up, and God wants me to participate in something new. And so wherever you find yourself, I pray that God would stir within us to be a part of his good works in this world. And if you want an inspirational story to maybe fan that flame, or if you just want to read about what God has been doing through Pastor Heidi's life, I'd encourage you to go and grab that book this morning. It's on the patio. You'll see the booth. Heidi and Daniel will be over there. Great place to talk to them, encourage them, and even just remind them that you'll be praying for them. Would you stand with me this morning? As you go today, go to share the gospel. Go to share the good news of Jesus. Go to bring God's kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. Go and be a part of his good works in this world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you. We'll see you next week.